We want to talk primarily about today. Let's talk a little about mechiras chametz. Okay, there's an ancient time immemorial a minhag Yisrael to sell your chametz to a non-Jew. And the question is, what exactly do you have to sell to a non-Jew? So basically, should you not? What are the issues? Okay, so everything I'm telling you today is coming from this beautiful sefer called Sha'arei Yemei HaPesach by Rabbi Tezner. Rabbi Yehuda Tezner, he has many, many svarim. We always use the svarim. This material is all new to me. I never learned any of this stuff. He has some very interesting things. I'll just jump around a little bit. There is such a minhag. I've heard about this a while ago. People do not want to sell to a guy chametz gomor.
Right.
What do you mean chametz gomor? Bread. Okay. You know, it's in your home when you sell chametz to a guy. There are so many different types of chametz. Things that we call chametz. Some are not really chametz. Some are real chametz. Something is in the middle. Let's try to just go through some of the terms of what is called midarais and chametz and that. Obviously, bread is real chametz. That's called chametz gomor. What about matzah? Matzah that does not have a hechsher as being kosher lepesach. Is that chametz gomor? Can you say to a person who ate matzah on Pesach that does not have a hechsher as being kosher lepesach, you chayv kares? Now, eating chametz on Pesach is a chayv kares. So can you say that the person is chayiv? You being a karma chatas? I believe so, right? You being karma. If you did b'shoigeg, it's matzah that does not have a hechsher chametz gomor.
Only if it has, let's say, bent over pieces.
Not necessarily. You know, it's like this is like we spoke about on Purim. On Purim, there are many things in halacha. If you want to be yoytze lechatchila, there are many hidurim. There are many ideal things that you should do to fulfill the letter of the law. L'chol pirotecha v'diktukecha v'chavnosecha. But to say that you did not, we're not yoytze the mitzvah, and to say that you did an avera, that's a whole different world. Now, the one thing is for sure. Matzah that does not have a hechsher as being kosher l'pesach, you cannot, under any condition, be yoytze the mitzvah of achilas matzah lel pesach. Because you need shemura matzah. Ushemartem es hamatzos. There's no question that matzah that you buy in the supermarket, even though it's matzah, no one went, and when they bake the matzah, whether it's machine matzah or hand matzah, said, l'shem matzah is mitzvah. No one did that. So therefore, there's nothing to discuss that you can, you definitely are not yoytze the mitzvah deraisa of achilas matzah on Lil Pesach, because the matzah that you eat Lil Pesach must be made l'shem the mitzvah of achilas matzah. It's a pasuk in the Torah. There's no room to wiggle. Ushemartem es hamatzos. If there was no shemira l'shem matzah, you're not yoytze. Okay, but there's another halach in the Torah that you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. And if you go to the supermarket and this happens, Rabbis, you wouldn't believe how many times this happens. This is a very common thing where people have matzah the entire year round. No one has a kosher Pesach matzah the whole year round because who could afford? There's no matzah factory, no matzah, and there's no company that could afford to go since Pesach is once a year, so we'll be machal the whole year round. Our matzah will be kosher Pesach. Why they do that? It's easy for one to do, but wine is, I'll talk about wine, very interesting about wine in a moment. Wine, they taka do that. Wine, they make kosher Pesach wine the whole year round. Even in the middle of the summer, when they're making wine, they're making kosher Pesach. And I'll explain to you why they do that. Because this is basically, it's very easy. But when it comes to matzah, it's not so easy. It's not so easy to clean the machines. It's not so easy to have a mashkiach and inspect and go through the chumras and be medaktik l'chol perotecha. It is prohibitively expensive to do so. And that would cost, the cost would be passed on to the customer, and they would go out of business in 5 minutes. So therefore, it's not certified as being kosher l'Pesach. However, if you investigate into the matzah factories, pretty much whatever they do for Pesach is what they do the whole year round. It's the same machines, it's the same technique, It's just that there's no supervision to make sure that the flour is, you know, is a special kashrut Pesach flour, and this didn't go wrong and that didn't go wrong. But to say that if a person, chas v'shalom on Pesach, he ate matzah that did not have a hechsher, has been kosher le Pesach, and he ate on Pesach, to say that he was over on Isser deraisa, the chayiv karis, you can't really say. You can't say.
Not going to have the 18 minute span.
It could be they are. You don't even know. And also 18 minutes.
The machines have 18 minutes.
Because 18 minutes, that's not so you have to be in car. 18 minutes doesn't mean it's chametz. Just because 18 minutes passed does not mean it's chametz. First of all, Chabad, they hold 24 minutes. And even if it's 25, 26, if you're working on the dough, as long as you're being metabol on the dough, it doesn't become chametz. Okay, so
it just goes
1, 2, 3, it's done. It's done 1, 2, 3. Adrab, it's better with the machine matzah. Does it look like it's chametz to you? It doesn't look like it's chametz. And how much chametz, if you're talking, you do have chametz. It's bottle. I mean, chametz is not, chametz on Pesach. If you create chametz on Pesach, it's not bottle, I feel a bit elef. But chametz from before Pesach becomes bottle. So there's no question, you cannot say that you're eating chametz gomer. Lemay nafkamina. There is a school of thought. There are a very significant group of people, for some reason, it's not really clear if it's correct or not correct, who do not want to sell to a goy chometz gomer. There's something that holds them back from owning in their possession real chometz and selling it to a goy, a box of Cheerios. Why would I want to throw out a box of Cheerios? How much does a box of Cheerios cost? It costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So waste the money. Brand new, no one opened it before. I should go throw it in the garbage? Now, a box of Cheerios is chometz gomer. Okay, Cheerios is mamish chometz gomer. It's flour and water, oats. And oats. They make it rises. It's chometz. I go throw it in the garbage. It's $5, $6, $7. What do I have to go throw out a big box of Cheerios? So I'll sell it to a guy. I sell to, I don't have a problem selling to a guy. And if Aaron Cutler, if Aaron Cutler himself held, you would sell to a guy. If Aaron Cutler was known, there's nothing wrong with selling chametz to a guy. You can sell chametz gomor. But there are people that don't. So those people who do not, let's say you have in your possession a whole stash of matzah, and the matzah has not been certified for kosher l'Pesach, that is a very good candidate of something that you can sell to a guy. Because matzah that has not been certified as kosher l'Pesach, you can't say it's chametz gomer. You really can't. Should you eat it on Pesach? No. Don't eat it on Pesach. Chas v'shalom. Don't eat it on Pesach. But to say that it's chametz gomer is a bit extreme. Okay, what about whiskeys? Okay, many of the whiskeys are called chometz nuksha. Chometz nuksha is even better. It's not even real chometz. It's called, it has the ingredients. There's wheat, barley, oats, the ingredients. And it has fermented. But it has not fermented in the classic way which produces something which we consider to be, I don't know the pratim, to be what we call bread, chometz. Also, by the way, let's take a step back, yeast. The Torah says there are two types of chometz. There is chometz and se'or. What is se'or? If you go into the supermarket and you buy yeast, we translate se'or as yeast. That is not correct. If you go into the supermarket and you buy yeast, that is not chometz. That is at best chometz nuksha. Nuksha means, I don't even know the translation, like spoiled, spaghetti. What?
Spaghetti? Raw spaghetti?
Not necessarily, because it's also
going, I don't know the answer.
Spaghettis are made very quick. They're not made with a...
Okay, I don't know. I don't know about spaghetti. I don't know.
It goes through the machine, gets dried, and put away.
What's hearing that? Then?
What?
That is
chametz nuksha. Chametz nuksha, spaghetti.
Or
pasta.
Yeah, pasta. Okay, in a chanami. Real chametz has to rise. You need one of the five grains. You have to add water. It has to rise. Has to show signs, very specific signs, that there was a chemical reaction between the water and the grain, and time has passed. You really need three ingredients, three elements, in order to create chometz de'oraisa. Water, a grain, and time. And a lot of the things that are on the market today do not have real water. They use other liquids, fruit juices, or other types of liquids which are not pure water, and that's a big dilemma. If it's not real water, who says that is called real chametz? Now we talk about yeast. The real translation for sa'ar is sourdough. Okay, sourdough you're only going to find in a high-class bakery, probably Brett Smith. And Brett Smith, I remember they wrote a Brett Smith, and a Brett Smith, they use sourdough. I'm not so sure your average bakery in Flatbush and Borough Park has sourdough.
No, but it's kind of trendy right now. A certain
product. It's a high-end product. It's a high-end, what?
Hard to digest to some people.
Also, it's a high-end product. It's an exclusive product. The average, go to the supermarket and they don't sell it. The bakeries, they make it. What is sourdough? You let it rise for weeks. Can you take flour and grain, also a very good type of flour, not, you know, your average flour, very high quality flour, and you add water, and you let it sit forever. You have to make careful, doesn't he know, it shouldn't be bacteria, it shouldn't
it's
be...
It's called proofing. What they do is when they mix the is it called the mother yeast, which is transmitted from...
Sourdough.
And they put a little into the flour mixture, and then when they make the challahs or the loaves...
So they take a small amount...
The shelf, and they let it stand for a period of time...
Days, weeks. It's very... You have to read up on how sourdough works.
I think every bakery uses it that makes bread.
It's chemically manipulated. Food technology has created artificial yeast. Artificial yeast. And it's not worth it for a regular bakery who has to produce enormous amounts of bread to go and deal with sourdough. It's just not worth it. They don't have the time, they don't have the patience for this. They have artificial yeast, which is just as good for the average person, even better. With all that, all the complications that comes with sourdough, and they use this thing they call yeast. You go into the grocery store. You can go buy yeast. This is not the real yeast. This is not what it means in the Torah. Se'or. This is chemicals, and this is not chametz gomor. This is at best chametz nuksha, which basically means a semi chametz, a quasi chametz. What?
The bread real bread?
Yes, the bread is real. The bread is definitely real bread because being that the sour, whatever chemicals they use, doesn't matter. You're asking a very good question.
It's not real bread.
You're asking a very. What Mary is saying is that since the dough today rises artificially, they're using chemicals to cause the dough to rise. So you're suggesting it's not called real chametz. You're arguing in order to have real chametz, you have to have either real sourdough, or you have to have time, 18 minutes, right? 25 minutes, whatever it is, for it to rise. Today, in the bakeries, they don't have patience to wait 20 minutes to let the dough rise. So they inject chemicals which accelerate the process very quickly. So you'll say that since it was artificially, the dough rose, it's not. No, we don't accept that. It doesn't. We don't do that. We don't accept that.
The mixer, it lasts.
It still takes 18 minutes. Okay, fine. But it's still the process was manipulated. It's not pure. No one says that. Everyone says that our bread today in the store, no matter how it came about, is chometz gomor. Never heard anyone say that it's not chometz gomor. But
flour and dough, and it's 18 minutes.
Even though let's say it's not 18 minutes. Let's say they put it to the amazing, a very good question. Why? If you take a chemical and you manipulate the flour in the water and you cause it to rise and to look like regular bread, it tastes like bread, it looks like bread, everything is that, but it was done artificially. So maybe you can find a legal loophole in halacha to say that if a person chas v'shalom ate this on Pesach, he's not chayv karis. We never heard that before. We never heard such a thing before. The bottom line is, bread is bread, period. Number two, the yeast that you buy in the store is not sa'ar. Sa'ar means sourdough. That is chametz d'oraisa, because it, not only did it rise, you let it sit and rise for weeks to produce the authentic chametz. So therefore halacha l'maisa, let's say you have these chemicals that are called yeast, that is not chametz gomer, that is a candidate to be sold to a non-Jew on over Pesach, because it's not real chametz. Chametz nuksha is a term which is used to refer to something which technically has all of the characteristics of chametz, but halacha l'maisa does not look like chametz. It doesn't appear to look like chametz because it did not rise and does not have the classic texture and feel and taste of chametz. These things, according to everyone, should be sold to a non-Jew over Pesach. Now, what about, and this is something very interesting, this is fascinating to me, what about a wine that you buy today? Let's say you have Mishloach Manos. So some people have they're very popular, and they get a lot of Mishloach Manos, they give, and they have, when Pesach and Purim is over, they have a collection of wine. And you go through every single bottle, and you'll notice not every single bottle of wine, I'm not talking about liquor and schnapps, I'm talking about wine. Not every wine has a hechsher as being kosher lePesach. If you have a wine that does not have a hechsher as kosher lePesach, what do you do with this wine? So the halach is nothing. You don't have to sell it. Modern day halacha, keep it in the house, put it on the shelf, don't drink it. Don't drink it, but don't sell it.
Why would it not be kosher?
Why would it? Because the only ingredient that today they would put into the wine that would make it chametz is alcohol. Chametz take alcohol. Alcohol can come from chametz, and they wouldn't dare. It would destroy the wine. It would ruin it. In the industry, I don't know all the problems. Rudy Govier would tell us about how they make wine today. There is no factory in the world that, in their right mind, would allow alcohol that is chametz to be added into a wine. That could be the only reason why a wine today would be chametz.
What are you? They could make a vinegar. They use the same.
No, they don't. They don't. It's not the mitzvah is any wine that is commercially sold today cannot possibly be chametz. Unless they're adding exotic ingredients. Sugar is not, the sugar today is not chametz. There's no such thing today as sugar as chametz. Years ago it used to be chametz, but not today. Today there's no such thing as sugar that's really chametz. So there's, no, they don't have, what kidneys in wine? A regular normal, we're not talking about exotic beverages. There are all these crazy exotic beverages you can go find out in the market. We're talking about a real wine. You go into the wine store and they have wine, real wine. It's impossible. Today, the experts have assessed the situation. The way wine is made today, it's almost impossible today to have wine that is chametz. So why then doesn't it say on the bottle it's kosher lePesach? Because it costs money
to get a hechsher.
It's a lot of money. And not everyone wants to pay the money to get the hechsher that it should be certified, because that means they have to come down, they have to clean up the whole shop. There's a lot of complications that can go into getting the hechsher, and not everyone is interested in spending that kind of money. The market that they're in is not a Pesach market. It's another type of market, and they're not willing to get the hechsher. But it's certainly extremely unlikely that there's any chametz to the point where you should not sell it to a non-Jew over Pesach. For why? Because there's a halacha that if you sell wine to a guy, what happens to the wine? Yayin esech. You're not allowed to drink the wine. Oh, but it has a double seal, and the guy did not come into your house. That's right. Halacha l'maisa, if you have in your home, if you do sell wine to a guy, you're allowed to drink it. Everyone agrees to this principle. Let's take a step back. Let us say you do, and you sell, you know what, I have open bottles of wine. Who knows, my kids, they probably put challah inside the wine. Who knows what they did? The wine is chametz. I want to sell my wine to a non-Jew. And now Pesach is over. Are you allowed to drink the wine? The wine was owned by a non-Jew. It's mutter lechatchila for you to drink the wine. Why? First of all, the bottle is sealed, double sealed, there's nothing to talk about. And number two, even if the bottles are open, did the guy come to the house? to make an assessment of how much his chametz is worth over Pesach. If the goy tachim into the house to go see what's going on, he looked on, then you got a problem. But if the goy did not come into your house to check out your wine, even though your bottles are open, it's okay. You have nothing to worry about. You can drink the open bottles of wine after Pesach is over. Now, even though all of this is true, but lechatchila, it's still not a good idea to sell wine to a non-Jew, because we don't do that. Non-Jews and wine don't mix. Okay, these two do not go together. So the bottom line over here is as follows. The person has in his possession yayin, kosher wine. Wine, we're not talking about exotic beverages that have other ingredients. I'm talking about a regular wine. There's nothing else in the regular wine. What do you put in a regular wine? Nothing. They have grapes, that's it. They don't do anything other than that, a regular wine. You do not sell it to a guy. You put it on the shelf, and it's not sold, period. When Pesach is over, you can drink it, as long as the bottle was sealed. Or if the bottle was not sealed, the guy did not come into your house to inspect the wine. Matzah is something which is not l'chayr chametz gomor. You can sell to a guy. Flour. Okay, so many women they bake. They have flour. Is flour chametz gomor?
No.
Well, today all flour is commercially washed. They wash it.
Bleached.
Bleached, washed. It comes in contact with liquid. I mean, I don't know not the flour itself, of course. I'm talking about the grain, the kernels. It's the at some point in time before they actually grind up the kernels, they wash it. So does that make it now? If your matzah, shmur matzah, you wouldn't dare eat a shmur matzah that they took before they ground up the kernels into flour. They washed it. That's a no-no. That would be considered to be you're adding water to a, you don't, you, maybe there's a crack, maybe it went inside. There's a lot of chumras. But after the fact, if someone took grain or took kernels of wheat and washed them in a washing machine and then dried it and then ground them up into flour and made matzah, made out of flour, you can't say that this is chametz gomor. You can't say that a person's chayav karas. Because just because you washed kernels of wheat does not guarantee that chametz, it became chametz. There's a chashash.
All the matzah in Russia taken from the government flour, which they washed.
Okay, so it goes to show.
They
made matzah out of it. You didn't have any choice. Now today what you're paying $30 a pound for, $35, $40 a pound for, was not washed. Okay, it would be scandalous if you discover that it was washed. So the halacha is, flour can be sold. Matzah can be sold. Wine does not need to be sold. Chametz gomor, technically there's no problem selling chametz gomor. If those who don't want to sell chametz gomor, so you have to know what exactly is called chametz gomor. And then he talks about some very interesting things. There are people, it is definitely a trend of people who don't sell chametz to a goy at all. They say, a lot of people are like this today, they say there's no need. What do I have in the house? I have in the house absolutely nothing. I cleaned out the closet. There's no Cheerios. I don't have any liquor. I don't have any vodka. I have none of this stuff. So what can I possibly have in the house that needs to be sold? Medications, they're not roi l'achilas kelev, not fit for human consumption. So what do I need to sell? I have what?
Medicines not fit for human consumption?
Well, l'achila, it's no, that's right, they're not. It's not a food, they're not foods.
Oh, they're not.
They're not foods. These are medications. A medication is not a food. It's a medication. This is not. It has to be an oichel. It has to be a food. So there are many people today, many people that don't bother selling their chametz to a guy because they look around the house. What do I have? I have nothing. Question: is that correct attitude? You don't want to sell chametz gomer. I get it. I'm not selling to a guy Cheerios. I'm not selling my. Some bread. Some people, I know, after the war. I know. I know someone. She passed away. This woman, She literally starved, came that close to starving to death in the war, and for the rest of her life, Yehoreg v'al Yavar had in the freezer two loaves of bread. Two loaves of bread were in the freezer, and if something happened
emergency,
if the electricity went out, she went with sugar, because the bread in the freezer is going to spoil. And Rahman al-Utslan, that's what the war did to her. She was so shaken up. And there were many people after the war that they were very obsessed with food because they lived through the horrors of this situation. So there are people, you know, so some people, they have bread, their mamash have bread, so they want to go sell to the girl. Today there are people, Baruch Hashem, a new generation, they don't know from this, have nothing to sell. So they don't want to sell anything, they don't sell chametz gomer. And they don't, all the chametz nuksha, what do I need it? Get rid of it. Get rid of the schnapps. Get rid of all this stuff. I don't care for this. I don't have to sell chametz. Is it proper? So this, he writes here, it's not proper.
No.
He writes here, you never know. You never know. What? You mevatel it, that's right. You mevatel it. And you search for it. You search for it and you mevatel it. But it's still a time-honored minhag of selling chametz to a guy because there could be a lack of gemirah stas.
When did it start? In Eastern Europe, right?
It started a long time ago.
It started in Europe,
right? Believe that, they were going to try to uncover when it started, but it started a very, very long time ago. You never know. What's the issue? What do you mean? It's about, but he has a very good question. But you mevatel it. Were you sincere in your bittul? Let's say on Pesach you discover you do indeed have something that's very valuable. You never know. You really possess something of true value. And I was mevatel it. Retroactively, can you say that the bittul, your kavana? Yes, you say it. It's very nice. You say it. But there's also this fear of being sincere. Mikan moido rabo le'oraisa. Pesach, you see, today, I don't think there's ever been a time in our history where we appreciate what it means. Chometz osur b'mashahu. Today, we're afraid, mamish, pacha b'chodim. Afraid to walk the streets. It's unbelievable. Why? What are you afraid of? You see someone coming at you? It might be in the air. It might, not a joke, it might be a teeny, teeny particle.
An educated person is a joke.
Right.
What?
For an educated person, it's a joke.
It's a joke?
Who cares what's in here?
What are you talking about?
You're talking about the virus.
The virus.
Oh, I thought you were talking,
no, I'm talking about the, I'm talking about the virus. I'm talking about the virus. I'm talking. Okay, it's mama, you know, I mean, I'm reading last night, the frightening things. Okay, and no one has any answers to anything, but the information that they're putting out to scare everyone is really frightening. Okay, and we appreciate the whole world now is in a state of panic because of a mashuhu shebe mashuhu. Chazal were way ahead of the game. Chazal, how many years time out in Torah? Chometz is osur b'mashehu. It's poison. What chometz represents, the se'or shebi isa. So in this panic of chometz osur b'mashehu, what do? We do a bedika and we burn it. It's not enough. You notice Chazal, it's not enough just mefarer v'zorek l'ruach. That's one opinion. Just crumble it up and throw it into the air. Could you imagine, say to someone who has a tissue, I'll crumble it up and throw it into the air. Okay, you'll go to jail if you crumble up your tissue and throw it into the air. Okay, the tissue has to be disposed of, incinerated. So we have a whole new appreciation of the Rabbanan say, in Sreifa, who have got that? El Sreifa, you got to get rid of it for real. Okay, it's not enough to go mefarer v'zorei l'ruach. And then Chazal go further. Who's, so you're going to mevatel it, you're going to seek and destroy. What happens if you don't find it? No problem, I'm covered. I'm mevatel it. Hefker. Whoever wants can have it. Hefker. Chazal are still not satisfied. Who says you're sincere? Just because you make a statement and you say, you make a statement, I'm mevatel it. Who says you really mean it? You really sincere?
You know, I'm never inside. We get this Shkaim Shiur once, and he says, when you say the nafshi ki afar la kol tiye, in the lokai netzor, you really mean it?
You still don't mean it.
If you mean that, just give me that.
But if you sell something, it's supposed to be in grace.
That's true. L'chatchila, if you can. But in addition, so he writes here in very strong Rav Tezman, he's a very big Pesach, he's not happy, and he's not saying, today I know for a fact there's a very significant number of people that do not sell chametz to a guy with the attitude it's not necessary. And in Hanami, there are Pesachim that say this. In Lakewood, there's not too many people that sell chametz to a guy in Lakewood. In Lakewood, most people are they don't have chametz. They're not the type that stash away liquor and all these exotic types of whiskeys.
Oh, I thought it was a shortage of
goyim. There's no shortage of goyim, unfortunately. There's no shortage of goyim. But people have an attitude that it's not necessary. You should be careful before you take that attitude. It can be very true. You look around, I don't see anything that I know of. You never know. So you asked the question, so you didn't know, so I'm a vatlet. Kol chamira v'chamira d'ika b'dushus d'chazit d'lochazit d'bi'akot. Not so fast. It's true. Say it with a lot of kavana. But you never know. You may indeed have someone might bring something to your attention that you never thought about, and you can then have chalisha sadas. I wouldn't be mevatel that. It means something to me. So we cover ourselves in every possible way. We seek and destroy, and we don't just throw it into the wind. We obliterate it.
There's some people who
whatever wills, we mevatel. And just in case our bittul is not sincere, we sell whatever we know about, but including the shtar mechira, you tell the guy, by the way, if there's some, every rav, it's part of the shtar, by the way, when this fellow, you know, I'm selling you over here, I'm writing down a there, here, just in case there's more that I left out, it's yours also. Everything is yours. Everything is part of the sale. That's part of the transaction. It's a very powerful concept. And this year, believe me, this year, we get it. We really get what it means, chazal, in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, everything is a zelu mazeh. In the physical world, we're living on pins and needles. And in the spiritual world, we just laugh. We write, sorry, okay, the sorrow should be the Yetzahar. Okay, chametz osur b'mashu. Wow, this year, chametz osur b'mashu has a whole new meaning. Okay, it really does. Yeah, Mayor.
Some people, including I'm one of those, purposely sell echt chametz to the guy.
What? They sell what?
A real piece of chametz to the guy.
To show their munas chachamim. Right. Emunas chachamim. That's also true.
And
there are people.
You turn it into our current day because the only people who are safe from the corona are those who have positive and have gone through 14 days and have light symptomology.
Antibodies.
Immune. That, you can be 100 days inside the cabinet. Every time you come out.
There are so many unknowns. Okay, well, Mayor, if you said is one of the big unknowns. Everything is an unknown. No one knows the answer to anything. So let's not talk about that.
Yes, you do.
No one knows anything. Everything is a big mystery. Everything is up in the air. No one knows nothing. Okay, now, okay, I want to hear another time. Now, there's another thing which is very interesting. I never saw this before. Rabbi Sai. Rabbi Sai is not a Shia. Let's listen. Let's come here and let's not talk about this. This is time out. Okay? The whole day, you'll be talking about this. Right now, time out. Let's come to a safe zone and talk about something else. Next thing, I never heard, this is something totally I never knew, because my father had a very big chavivus for Mechiras Chomet. I never saw this, he talks about this. There's a minog, there's a very interesting minog, it seems that it's very popular, I never heard about this, is to sell, what do you do when you sell chomets to a guy? You sell him the chomets, and you rent to the goy the location where the chametz is resting. Now, by the way, contrary to popular belief, you do not sell your chametz to the rabbi. The rabbi has no interest in your chametz. Has absolutely no interest in your chametz. The rabbi is an agent. He's nothing more than an agent to sell your chametz to a non-Jew. Now, when you sell your chametz to a non-Jew, the rabbi will also tell you that you will be renting to the non-Jew the location where the chametz is resting. So if you are going to sell, you have in the closet, you have matzah, and you have Cheerios, and you have some chametz stick of whiskey, and you name it. So you're going to sell him all of these items, and you're going to rent the closet. Why don't you sell the closet? Or why don't we sell it? It's not necessary to sell. So why don't you do it anyway? Why don't you anyway sell him the closet or the room? So one of the answers is because you're going to get into very big questions regarding your mezuzahs. If you sell your, people will say they go away for Yom Kippur. They go to Pesach. They go away to Florida. They go to Eretz Yisrael, wherever they go. Sell the whole house. I'm not lifting a finger to clean for Pesach. No way. Sell the guy the whole house. Guy, I'm selling you the house. It's all yours. When you come back, guess what? You have to take off the mezuzah, put it back on, and make a new bracha. Wow. Because I saw it wasn't my house. It was the guy's house. For a significant period, even one day. Technically speaking, even one day. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to go get involved in questions regarding the mezuzah. So what do you do? I'm not selling you the house. There's no need for me to sell you the house. I will rent my home to you. I will rent the home to you. So therefore, it's your reshus. That is enough already for me not to be required. Oh, why do you want to remove it from your possession? Because if it is in your possession, you are mechuyev to do a bedika. You are mechuyev to clean. In order to get out of cleaning the home, you rent it. It's not my property. But rental to a guy does not require you to take down the mezuzahs and put them back on and make a new bracha. So it's a brilliant solution. You rent it to the guy. Rental is enough. You're not required to do a bedika. But it's not enough for you to be required, when you take it back from the guy, to take off the mezuzahs and put them back on with the new bracha. So it's somewhere, it's a sweet spot, right in the middle. The guy, there are different levels. There are some rabbanim that are way over the top. They want your keys. They want the alarm combination. They want the code to the safe. There are crazy things they want. And then there are rabbanim that say, I don't want nothing from you. Just what's the address? That's it. When we'll need to get the chametz, we'll get a hold of you. We'll come after you. The FBI will seek you out. We'll No, it's
but
a.
He can own the closet, but he can't get into the house because it's not his house.
It's good enough. He doesn't have to have access. He doesn't have to. On paper, he has rented the facility. He owns the food. On paper, it's good enough. It's good enough to go give him the keys. These are extreme chumras. Okay, you don't have to do this. I know there are rabbanim who do it, but my father never did anything like that. But the average rav does not engage in these extreme activities.
And the sefer tefillah is kalim, right?
You don't sell it.
Very good.
Kalim, you don't sell it.
Now the kalim, very good. Kalim, you do not sell the kalim. Do you have non-kosher? You have pots of chametz of kalim. Do you sell it? No. Why not? Because if you're going to sell it to the guy and then buy it back, you're going to have to be toivel it. And some things you can't. Mm-hmm. So you don't sell. Oh, but they are bliyos. You mevatel the bliyos, and that's it. Inside of these kalim, there are absorptions of chametz, which is not even a mashu. It's not even tangible. For that, you just say kol chamira v'chamira dika b'rushu. Say bittel is enough for your utensils.
But you have to clean them.
There shouldn't be mamoshes. There should be. You should clean it before you put it away. There should be, but the absorptions inside your utensils, you are mevatel in your heart. We assume you're sincere for that, because no one's interested in, there's nothing there in the absorption. You do not sell the kelim, you do not sell the goy, the tam, inside the utensils. Okay, now here's what I want to get to. Here's an issue. When does the Rav sell the chametz to the goy? And when does it done? So the minhag Yisrael is to do it erev Pesach. Today it's interesting that it's changed a bit. I'll explain to you why. But from time immemorial, the zman when the rabbi sells the chametz to the goy is at the time of bir chametz, when you burn the chametz. It's at the time when you're not allowed to eat chametz, but you're allowed to derive benefit from chametz. The last. Why would the rabbi want to wait for the very last moment? Why would he want to wait for the very last moment to sell the chametz? It's traditional. Today, things have changed because we live in a different type of world today. Why?
Because we're just real time.
No, I'm not even getting to that. We're not even going there. I don't want to go there yet. Let's talk about it only here. Exactly. Because in the olden days, people, they live day to day. And you actually are planning to eat breakfast. You're planning to eat breakfast on the morning of the Pesach, Erev Pesach. So if you're going to sell your chametz to the guy, you create major complications. Because again, you have to remember, years ago, a lot of what we do today is tradition from what we did, what our great-grandparents did in Poland, or in countries where they lived in dire poverty. Most of Gaulists, we live in poverty.
Not only that, but also in smaller communities, it was workable.
It was workable, correct. But what's the issue? The issue is, what is your normal plan? I'm going to have breakfast. And then when I have breakfast, whatever's going to be left over, the leftovers, that I'm selling to the guy. If I already sold to the guy my chametz the night before, 2 days before, it's gezel. People actually cared about gezel in the olden days. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs, so you're making it into a joke. It's very important not to make the mechira into a joke. If you sold the chametz to the guy 2 days ago, the rabbi, I'm going on vacation. I can't be busy with this. I'm going to the Hamptons for Pesach. So I want to do the mechira a week before. Anyone who wants to sell the chametz to the guy, you come to me a week before, we can do the mechira. So then what about the whole week leading up until Pesach? So two things are happening. First of all, any chametz you have in the house, you're eating, you're stealing from the guy. Number two, you're buying more food. It's inevitable there are going to be people who are going to buy food. The kids need to eat breakfast, Erev Pesach, or the day before Pesach. So you go and you buy a box of Cheerios. And guess what? The kids don't want to eat Cheerios for breakfast. So what am I going to do with this box of Cheerios? Oh, we sold to the guy. No, you didn't. The rabbi sold the chametz to the guy yesterday. The box of Cheerios you bought today. You can't do that. You can't do futures. This is not the stock market.
But you've made the Rav your agent to sell it at the appropriate time for him.
Yeah.
But can't there be a
So what is traditionally, this is a fact, people don't get this, it is a fact, traditionally the time to sell chametz to the goy is the very last minute. So because of the complications that of gezel, what are you eating the chametz? You sold it to the guy. What is a joke? You're making the whole mechira into a joke? Then the mechira is not a good mechira. Or number two, if you sold all your chametz, what am I going to eat now? What am I going to do now? I sold my chametz to the guy. Everything is his. I'll buy new chametz. Okay, so it's a good idea. And then what happens there at Pesach when you have an expensive box of Cheerios that you don't want to throw in the garbage? So, I'll put it in the closet with all the stuff that I sold to the guy. Oh, excuse me, what you're putting in the closet now, according to the world of halacha, is not included in the sale. Because the sale took place 2 days ago. You just can't go and go put things in the closet and make believe it was sold to the guy. This is a real transaction.
Can't the sale happen tonight?
We do that. See, today we break all the rules. All of these things are not in the spirit of the law. Because if this was a real business transaction where you were selling stocks and bonds and dealing with real merchandise, you wouldn't play these games. you would not be playing these games. Yeah, this is sold, it's not sold, a little bit here, he's moichel, not moichel. People go to court for pennies. They're fighting over pennies when it comes to... So to this mechira, you're dealing over here with an item that is toxic. Chometz osor b'mashu. It used to be back in the day. It's meant something. This really, people were affected by this.
I didn't hear about lawsuits about this chomet sale.
What?
Gentiles never try to come and collect.
There are many situations of them. There are stories. There's a whole halacha. It's not nothing different topic. So I don't want to.
So what ways are changing? You said this changing.
So today a lot of rabbanim, they don't want to wait for the last minute. They don't want that forces you as the balabayas, as the person who goes through. You know, it's not such a bad idea to ask the rabbi. When are you doing the mechira?
Can't he put a time when he's selling it?
Will he tell you? Also, today, unfortunately, today, a lot of rabbanim, probably 95% of rabbanim, do not sell the chametz themselves. They go to one central rabbi. What? The rabbi of rabbis. Okay, they go to the rabbi of rabbis. Some of them I've seen on law, everything today, you know, everything is out in the public today, everything out the phone is a danger to society. Everything is online. I've watched online some of the mechirais. I was horrified. Mamish horrified. Because I was spoiled. Because my father, he took this very, very seriously. And he studied this in very great detail. And he really had a chiba for this, and he did it with all the bells and whistles.
Did the guy he sold it to know what he
sold? Well, it depended on the year. They always knew, but there were different periods of the Baruch. My father was around for 29 years. So the first years he did, he went to the Lower East Side, and he gave it to Rav Nissen Alpert. And Rav Nissen Alpert originally did it in the presence of Rav Moshe Feinstein. All the rabbanim, the whole New York City, Bali Guzma, came to MTJ with the shtaris. They put it down on the table, and Rav Nissen Alpert sold it to the guy in the presence of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And it was a big ceremony. It was a very, very big ceremony. Chaval, no one has a video of this ceremony. Then Rav Moshe, I think Rav Moshe already wasn't well. He didn't come. He wasn't there anymore. And then Rav Nissen,
was it Erev Pesach or the day before?
Erev Pesach, the last minutes. It was Zman Israchila. Like the olden days. It was Zman Israchila. They did this Erev Pesach in the last hour, like it was supposed to, like tradition. It was done. Then that tkuva came to an end. Rav Nissen, when he died, he was nifta very young. Well, it was very tragic. And then my father, he watched it, he saw it. My father, he felt confident, he did it himself. Now, I remember the first years, the guy that he did it with was not such a great guy. Okay, he was not such an intelligent guy. It wasn't very pleasant. Okay, I remember asking him 1,000 times the same question over and over to get it through his thick head to understand what exactly is happening. And then my father, he would seek out intelligent guy. And he had a tekufa, a stretch of a number of years. Someone really super brilliant, a guy with a PhD, a super brilliant guy.
And he really
understood. And then I don't know that guy. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what after a number of years. And yeah, they were all good, different levels. Well, you know, some of them better or worse, different. You know, different. Well, basically, yeah. I mean, after that first time when he had that guy that was really thick. He was a super of the shul. Remember him? Remember him, Mr. Muralist? There was a super in the shul. He lived upstairs. He was from Turkey. He was from Turkey. Very long time ago. All right, after that tkufa, the guy was always intelligent enough. And there were sometimes he had some really good guy.
Find out if the Gentile was really a Gentile.
Good question. It's a very good question.
Yeah,
so that was an issue. I mean, the last tkufa, he used, I've got his name already. There was a boy. I think, did he use them ever? I think he used them. Yeah, the last two, three times he used them. He used a boy who turned out that his, he was a Shabbos guy of the shul, that his, there's no question that his grandparents, somewhere down the line, were Shomer Shabbos.
Wow.
But he was a guy.
Yeah.
It was, his mother was a shik. There was no question about it. I mean, this is when he was investigated because he was a Shabbos guy. And they made a good, thorough investigation, but it was, and it also, he had a netiya to Yiddishkeit. Where does it come from? His grandfather probably knew Shas. Okay, that's what it came out. His grandfather was a Talmud Chacham. Rachman Litzlan, maybe his great-grandfather, whatever it was. Rachman Litzlan, whatever, he came from, whatever. Yeah, someone married a shiksa somewhere along the line, a real shiksa, nothing to talk about. And halachically, he was not a non-Jew. Okay, so it's right. It's very important to know if the person that you sold it to, there are horror stories. Every horror story you could imagine has happened. Guarantee. It's a real horror.
The Chiris Chametz. They brought in, I think, by Vicious, they found out that the Romanian guy was
Jewish. Okay, these are all the stories. Okay, anyway, here's something I never saw before. This is something very interesting. Now, here's the issue. Traditionally, I gave you this whole lockdown because traditionally, mechiras chametz all the time was done erev Pesach, the very last moment. And my father was so nizer in this that today we live in a very complicated world because everyone has assets all over the world, and there are people who have an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. And they come to the rabbi. I'm not just selling you the chametz here in America. I'm selling you the chametz in Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, it starts 7 hours or 8 hours earlier. So what are you going to do? If you're going to go, you can do the mechira. You can do the mechira here. You're going to be in mechira here. It's already. Or the zman already when it's. You're not allowed to have chametz in Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be a big problem. So
why is it a problem? What are you over? You're here. And your chametz is...
Well, where is the balabas? First of all, it's complicated. You're right, there are chumris. You're right, there are solutions. But it gets very complicated. First of all, where is the moicher? Right. Sometimes they're in Eretz Yisrael.
So
why did they go to a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael to sell the chametz?
Right.
Maybe they did. They sell, a good balabas goes to all his rabbanim.
Right.
They sell to... No, it's not a joke, okay? So that's the goy's problem. The goy fight. The chassam soiv is the kasha. The chassam soiv is the balabatim. You know, it used to be in the olden days. If you did not, even by my father, I would tell you, my father was the big thing. If you did not come to the Rav to sell him the chametz, it was a declaration of war. I'm telling you a fact. You come to the Rav, you sell the chametz, you give him a check. This is the way it was. Okay, this is the way Jews live. You come to the Rav, you pay homage. You bow before the rabbi by selling your chametz to the guy through the Rav, and you give a Rav a nice check for Pesach. And if you don't, a balabas does not come, it's a statement, you're not my rabbi. A declaration of war. I can tell you, balabatim by my father, it was like that. There were certain rabbis that they were very angry, had tiredness, had complaints. They made a statement by not, it's like music. One day you make up, make peace, you fight, you make peace. It's that's how it goes. So what happens, like in our neighborhood, where everyone has 10 rabbanim? Everyone has 10 rabbanim. I remember, after my father was nifter, so I said to my mother, who should we sell chametz to? Should I go to this rabbi, that rabbi? So my mother said to me, you go to them all. If you're close with all of them, because my mother was of a different generation. If you're close with this rabbi and that rabbi and that rabbi, you go and you sell the chametz to all. But what do you mean? If I sold the chametz to this, to this rabbi sells it to this guy, and this rabbi sells it to this guy, and this rabbi sells it to that. So when the goyim find out that the chametz has been sold to someone else, so it's the mekach is bottle? What's going on over here? So this is an old shaila, because many people have many rabbanim, and they know that if they don't go to all of their rabbanim, each rabbi thinks that I'm your main rabbi, and if you're not going to show up to sell the chametz, it's a declaration of war. I don't want to declare war. I'm not looking for trouble. So they go to many rabbanim. So what about? So maybe the whole mechira is bottle. So the Chassam Sofer deals with this question. He says one thing is for sure: you sold your chametz. The goyim, they have a problem. Let them fight about it. It's their problem. It's not your problem. You sold it. Someone owns it. They'll fight about it. You don't have to worry about them fighting who got it. But you can go to three rabbanim.
The mob will come to your house and grab everything.
Whatever. It's an interesting concept. So people that live in Eretz Yisrael, like you said, they go to Eretz Yisrael. So what do you do? So it's interesting. Today rabbanim don't do what my father did. My father, he said, listen, the minig is time-honored minig, time immemorial. You sell the chametz erev Pesach in the last hour. For some reason, by my father, that was sacred. That's when the chametz is sold, whether you like it or not. The Israelis, the foreigners, they're complicating issues. So you always would ask, are you have anything? No, it was very easy. People, when they would sell. So we had a separate shtar. He had a separate shtar for them. And for those people, he sold it at the night before. So there were two mechiras. And the night before was like almost like a rehearsal for the next day. Same guy. It was always the same thing. Guy, and there's always a big deal to get the guy to come and then be witnesses. And there has to be a best. You can imagine what an effort it was. Because you have to have witnesses. And you have to have dayanim. Father always had dayanim. Most rabbanim don't have dayanim. They just do it themselves. And they have two witnesses. My father had a bezdin. Because Rav Moshe had a bezdin. Rav Moshe, by Nissen Alpert, they did it with a bezdin. At the end of the whole procedure, Rav Moshe with Rav Nissen Alpert and someone else, they said, they did this whole elaborate procedure. And then they said, when it was all over, just in case, chas v'sholom, this transaction did not go through for some reason that we have no reason why it shouldn't. It should be binding according to law, secular law, city, state, federal. It should be binding according to halacha. But just in case, we as a bezdin declare bezdin hefker. No one should be nichshol in chometz over lova pesach.
Wow,
that's what Rav Moshe did with Rav Nissen Alpert and someone else.
Did you see this?
I didn't see this. I was too little. I didn't see this. So my father did that every year. My father, he had a bezdin. He had mumchim. People had smicha. He demanded people had smicha. And you know what an effort it is to get people to come Erev Pesach at 10 o'clock to shul, to sit there for an hour? Someone has smicha, real smicha from a real yeshiva? My father would pay people. It was a big thing to get the witnesses to come and sit there for a whole hour. It's very complicated and he did very elaborate. That's what I watch online, some of these mechiros. I'm telling you, I'm amish chalit shadas. It's like the whole thing to me is just, this is not the way you do it.
That's why you shouldn't sell chametz
gomer. What?
That's why you shouldn't sell chametz gomer.
No.
What does a grocery store do?
Okay, but I'm running on 5 minutes. I'm going to finish up. But today, I want to make one interesting point. But today, a lot of rabbanim, the vast majority of rabbanim do not do this themselves. It's very hard to do that. So they go to a mumche, they bring it to a central authority, to a rav who's a mumche, and he does it for the tzibur. Now, when do they do it? They do usually the last minute. They do the last minute. Now, here's the problem. This is a halachic issue. If you sell your chametz the very last minute, many people, I don't know if it's this year, but many people, they go away to Pesach. They go away to, a lot of people go away to hotels or go to their children. It's very hard to make Pesach. Okay, rightfully so. They go to their children, they go to a hotel. When do they leave? The vast majority of people, they leave Erev Pesach in the morning. The vast majority. Okay, don't tell me otherwise. People who are going to hotels, they're not going the night before. Okay, they're really super duper rich, maybe go the night before. If you're going, or you're going away to some exotic place. But the people locally who go to a hotel, they leave Erev Pesach. So when do they do Bedikas Chametz? The night before. Or Larbasa, they do the night before. So they call, Bedikas Chametz. I don't have to do Bedika because I'm going away to Pesach. I'm going away. So when I wrote the shtar, what did the rabbi tell them to do? The rabbi tells them, rent the entire house to the guy except for one room. Don't rent the entire house. Because if you rent the entire house, then you took away from yourself the opportunity to be mekayim the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. You can't make a bracha. It's a bracha levatala. So if you're going away to a hotel for Pesach, if you're going to your children, and you have to do bedikas chametz. How are you going to do bedikas chametz? So sell the entire, rent to the guy, the entire house, except for one room. And in that one room, clean up, and do a bedika. You make a bracha, put out the 10 pieces, and you mekayim, don't rent the whole house. Now, here's what's a chiddush. People came along and they said, pumfa karet. Being that the rabbi is not selling the chametz until tomorrow morning, at 10 o'clock. So right now, the whole house has not yet been rented to the guy. If it's not yet been rented to the guy, you got a big problem, sir. You got to clean bedubedika on the entire house. So roll up your sleeves and do bedika on the entire house. So what is the average person? I can't do that. I'm not in a state of health and in a frame of mind where I can go do a bedika lahalacha. You can do whatever you want. You can make, you can go to shul and just do lip service also. Okay, but I am not in a state where I can go do bedika lahalacha on my entire house. I'm sorry, I can't do that. I can't do that. My grandchildren don't want to come help me either. Who's gonna get a shliach to come to go? They're gonna come to clean the whole house for you. Do the bedika on the whole house? Maybe. That would be the proper thing to do. So developed, I never knew, but he writes here that it developed a new minhag, a naya minhag. Now this naya minhag is also a result of another new minhag, is that Rabbanim today are not selling chametz Erev Pesach anymore. A lot of Rabbanim, for some reason, have decided they're going to sell it. I don't want to wait to the last minute, 10 o'clock, Erev Pesach, to sell chametz. I'm busy with shilas. The whole morning, people are calling with emergencies. I have this shila and this shila and this shila. Real Rabbanim, Pesach is impossible, especially this year. What's going to be this year? It's impossible. All the shilas. I can't just go disappear for 2 hours to do a mechira Erev Pesach. So the vast majority of the Rabbanim, you know what they do? They do the mechira 2 days ago. 2 days ago. They do it now. Oh, you're doing it 2 days ago. Oh, but you're getting yourself now into these complications. Someone might buy more chametz and put it in the closet. Okay, that's a problem. It's a very big problem. But today it's not that likely anymore. Because today, Baruch Hashem, people are more, it's a different type of society today. People are not putting away Erev Pesach in the closet, Cheerios. And maybe they should be aware of all the issues. But what Rabbanim are doing at this, this is something very unique. They're saying to the guy, this is an incredible chiddush. He writes up a whole chapter on this. I can't believe telling this what's going on. They tell the guy, you guy, you shrekets. What we're doing over here is as follows. The rental of the facilities of all these people is going to take effect on the day before Erev Pesach. The day before Bedikas Chametz. And the sale of the chametz will take place on Erev Pesach. We want to post-date. We want to divide up the transaction. We want the homes that are being rented to you for all those people that are fleeing this country or their home for Pesach. We want the rental of the facilities to take place on the 13th day, 6 hours before the Zman of Bedikas Chametz. So that they can do a Bedika only on one room. They don't have the halachic issue of being required to do a Bedika on their entire home. Because the home is not mine. The home was already rented to the Goy on the 13th, 6 hours before the Zman of Biur Chametz. But the chametz, we're not going to sell to you until, we don't want it to take effect, until the 14th day in the 10th hour, just in case one of my balabatim doesn't know the halacha and he puts in the refrigerator a new fresh box of devil dogs. So we want, what? What?
Which room do you have to go to?
So you leave over one room, that you have to do anyway. When you go to a good rabbi, whatever you want. One room, pick a room. Ini, mini, mini, mo.
But they're squatters. They're living in the house, they're squatters. They're not living in the
house. No, you're renting. So they're squatters? They're living in the house? I don't know the answer. You're asking a good question. I don't know, it probably has to be worked out. These are all complicated shilas. You're right. All of these issues have to be worked out, and they are worked out. I've mentioned a lot of tshuvas. It's extremely complicated, all of these things. And all of this is done because halacha, it turns into a joke, then it is a joke. If it's done seriously, then it's halachically binding. Does it have to be binding according to New York City, Din de Malchus Adina? Many places can say no. You don't have to go, this is a religious matter. You don't have to go get involved with the city, the state, the federal government. My father was, you know, my father actually spoke to lawyers. And he actually wrote up documents that he really believed was binding according to city, state, and federal law. It would be 100% binding. I once had a guy, my father was very sick. My father was very sick. So my father asked me to sub for him to know when people came to sell the chametz. So there was a guy who was hanging around the shul. He was like, you know, he was partially about tshuva, not about tshuva. He comes there and he sits down and he wants to understand what is the mechira about. And I explained to him and he was really ready to do it. And then he sees the documents, has the sign and all the things. And he says, it's all legal? Everything? I said, yeah. And then at the last minute he says, I cannot do this. I'm afraid. Who knows? Who knows what you're doing over here? You may come repossessed all my assets. I don't know. I'm afraid of what I'm signing away over here. And he gets up and he walks out. And I said to myself, Baruch Hashem, I'm very happy. I'm very happy that he appreciated. I'm not happy for whatever he has chometz. He's a tinnik shenishbai. You know, the guy is not holding. But I was very impressed that we were able to present to him, this is serious business here. This is not a joke. To the point where he totally could not bring himself to sign away.
Could you have sold it without him knowing about it?
There are such things where a balabas forgets to come. There are a lot of tshuvas. They have a balabas, he just forgets to come. He's not well, he doesn't remember. So the rabbi sells on his behalf as well. There are a lot of them. All right, have a wonderful day.